بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending peace and blessings upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the fifth lecture in the series of da'wah, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the title, Be Frank with Yourself, Be Honest with Yourself, Be Truthful with Yourself. As we all know, knowledge is a light for the heart. Al-ilmu haya lil-qulub wa nur. Not only a light, but also the source of life for the heart. When we talk about knowledge, we're talking about the knowledge of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in general. But this knowledge can never be really a light and a life for the heart unless we force ourselves and compel ourselves to be sincere and to be serious. It's impossible. You can never see a person seeking knowledge and really benefiting from the knowledge unless he takes it serious and sincere to get the credit for it. Seriousness will get you there to learn it, and sincerity will give you credit for it when you learn it and propagate it. Because, brothers and sisters, dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is difficult in the sense of the obstacles that you're going to face to fulfill that commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason is the Jannah is precious, and the Jannah is very valuable. Therefore, you're not going to get it simply by doing basics, or not taking it seriously, or not seeking knowledge, or thinking, oh, just simply by being a Muslim by name, I'm going to go to Jannah. It is not. No one in the right mind will tell you that. أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْجَنَّةِ. In fact, what many people make them refuse to enter Islam or they exit from Islam, it is because they worship their desires. They cannot force themselves and oblige themselves to stick to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They give up on that. It's not because the religion is bad, it's not because the commands are bad, it is because they are defeated. They are defeated, they did not win against themselves. You cannot go to Jannah unless you win against yourself and you subjugate yourself to call Allah, call Rasul. Once you gain that power, when you seek knowledge that if you hear the command, you submit before you even understand why, then you are not really doing it right if you don't do that. But if you submit, then this is the right person. Every person, whenever you want to do an act, and our topic is da'wah, you want to do a da'wah, you have to ask yourself two questions. Why am I doing it? Why am I doing it? That's question number one. And question number two, what am I doing? What am I doing here? That's question number one. Question number two, why am I doing it here? The answer to that, I'm teaching. I'm propagating the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what I'm doing here. Is this something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do that, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to do that. So why am I here? Because I want to get the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has promised me. If I do this, I will go to Jannah. That is sincerity. The first one is following the sunnah. The second one, sincerity. Anytime you do anything, why you're sitting here? I'm seeking knowledge. Or what are you doing here? I'm seeking knowledge. Why you're doing it? Because it's very valuable and precious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reward for it is too big, and I need the reward so I can go to Jannah. Once you answer those two questions properly, then you are on the right track. A heart needs to be charged. Check yourself and see if that applies to you. Any person who prays because he inherited the prayer from his parents, or he learned it and kept on doing it without knowing why is he doing it, without knowing what are the pillars of the prayers, without knowing how many times did he say Subhanallah or Subhana Rabbil Azim, meaning not attentive in the prayer, or if he did it according to the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or why he prayed Fajr 2 rak'ah, not 4 rak'ah like Dhuhr. Anyone who does that, his heart needs to be charged because it's running out. It's running out very low. Yes, you're doing prayer, but you might be just doing prayer without rewards. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that you get rewards for the prayer as much as you remember of it. That is provided that you're doing it right. And this is how it works. A person who spends 16 or 20 years of his life seeking knowledge, and then he gets the certificate, he gets a job, and he works, and yet he makes several mistakes in Surah Al-Fatiha. This person needs to have his heart charged. Because to spend 20 years for something that you're not going to be asked about the Day of Judgment, and you fail to do something very simple that you do it every day, and you insist on making the mistakes and not giving yourself little time to understand it. The shuyukh are available, the CDs are available, the tapes are available, people are available, the internet available. Everything is available for every person to know exactly how to pronounce and how to memorize everything there is. But if you fail to do that, you're running low and you need to charge your heart. A person who wakes up early in the morning and he goes to work and work 12 hours so he can get his salary, and he doesn't really know what kind of a job exactly he is in and for what he is really working, and why is he working 12 hours and why he's spending too much time at work, this person needs to charge his heart because he's not fulfilling the purpose of his existence. A person who says, Salaamu Alaikum brother, how are you brother? Let's go visit the brother, let's go congratulate the brother, let's go do this and that to the brother, but simply because, you know, it's social dealing, it's PR. It's not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person needs to charge his heart. A person who fills his stomach, food and drinks, and he fulfills his desires, and he doesn't know why he's doing that, why he's spending so much money, and he is there to eat. He's living to eat, where the reality is we eat to live. We eat to live. بحسب امرئ لقيمات يقمن صلبه. Sufficient for the person, few pieces of bread to just keep him alive. This is the minimum. Just to keep you alive, to stay alive, so you can fulfill your purpose of obligation. If you refuse, then thuluth for food, one-third for food, one-third for water, and one-third for breathing. This is the religion. If you live to eat, your heart needs to be charged. A person who hears everything that I just said and thinks that all of this is for someone to charge his heart and not the person whose heart is charged needs to be recharged, is also needing his heart to be charged. You know, and you know, but you forget. You need to be reminded. I have the charge, but it is still. I need to activate it. I need to learn. I need to go and attend. I need to hear. I need to read. Any of those will encourage you to do that. It is a grave mistake, brothers and sisters, if you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with the knowledge and you are on the path, the right path, and you are in the way of people who are seeking knowledge, or you're becoming a knowledgeable person, it is a mistake that you think that you have become someone very important. Something would come to you, an evil feeling that is very complicated. You don't feel, you feel it, and people see it. People see it on you, the way you talk and the way you behave. They see that if you are conceited. They can see if you are sincere or not. They can feel it if you are just boasting or bragging. And deep inside, you get the feeling that you're becoming someone important. This is a grave mistake. So we need to talk about few things so we can be honest with ourselves and treat those symptoms that may appear on you. People see it and you need to treat it. Number one, أن تشعر أنك فوق النصيحة. If you feel that you are above being advised. When someone comes and advises you with something, you may say, who are you to tell me that? I know more than you do. Or you take it, but deep inside, you resent it. You don't like it. You feel like you're inferior to that person because he had advised you. And you start to not like the person who advised you. You start to avoid being around that person. You start to dislike that person simply because he had advised you and you forgot the saying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن يا رسول الله قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this religion is based on advising one another. They said, O Prophet of Allah, to whom we advise? He said, you advise to Allah and to His Messenger and to His book and to the people in charge and to the general public. Meaning, you advise to Allah. You stick to the commands of Allah. You follow the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You obey those people in charge, and you give advices for every person by enjoining good and forbidding evil. Number two, البحث عن الفتاوى الشرعية التي توافق الهوى. You find yourself with a status, and then you start to look for certain fatawa that fulfills your desires for a personal gain. Even if you used to believe in something and you used to act upon that thing, then you would change it simply because you wanted to follow your whims and desire. A third one, التقليل من عمل الآخرين وازدرائهم. you start to look down at everything other people do. It's either not good, or they don't do enough, or they don't have the knowledge to do it. It doesn't matter what they don't do it right in your eyes. There is no more danger than the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying about the hypocrites when he said, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Some of the companions did not have much to give. And some of the companions have a lot to give. Just because you have a lot to give, that doesn't mean that you do it. But alhamdulillah, lots of the companions did that. So you have hypocrites watching. Here's a person came and donated a handful of goodies. Hypocrites go, look at that. He's showing off. He's trying to impress everybody. That's why he's doing it. Okay. Another person comes, he really wants to do something, but he doesn't have much. He comes and get a handful of dates. Look at that person too. He's coming with a handful of dates, and we're looking for servicing an army. What is this handful of dates going to do? Ridiculous behavior. Okay. The big one is a hypocrite. The little one is no good to you. Who's good? They're just putting down people and underestimating their efforts in every aspect because they are evil from the inside. If you get that feeling where you start looking at other people down regardless of what they do, that is something that needs to be treated. Al-ishtighal bil-juz'iyyat. You start to focus on basic things or on sunan and you forget major things. You're not honest. You're not trustworthy. You may call and tell your boss that you're sick when you're not sick. You may get to work and not fulfill your job properly when you know that you are entrusted to be honest and fulfill everything that you do. You may not be taking care of your family and busying yourself even with something good on the expense of taking care of your family. You have a problem. You need to check yourself and treat it. حب الظهور والقيادة. This is a disaster. حب الظهور. You would start to enjoy being a leader, being presented, being introduced. In fact, it will make you feel bad if someone just introduced you with your name without saying the scholar or the sheikh or the doctor or the so and so and give a little bit background about you to make you look good and everything. It would make you feel bad. Once you start getting to feel that, then you know that you need a treatment. One of them said, Ya Rasulullah, أَمِّرْنَا عَلَىٰ بَعْضْنَا وَلَّاكَ اللَّهِ. Two men came to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of them said, O Prophet of Allah, let us be in charge of this, the treasures and the cities and the states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with. يعني make me, appoint me in a certain position where I will be someone important. Make me a judge, make me a governor, make me any of those things that makes you up. Look what the answer from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال إن والله لا نولي على هذا العمل أحدا سأله ولا أحدا حرص عليه. He said, by Allah, we will not give this kind of task to a person asks for it or a person we know he's keen on getting it. You know why? Because he told us in another hadith, if you are being put in that position without you looking forward to it, for the purpose of showing and such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you with it. And if you look for it, even if you're sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you alone and you deal with it. Basically, you're not supported or aided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless you know that you are the only one who can handle that job, then it is okay to come and ask for it. Otherwise, you should not ask for anything, and that is the teaching. So if you see someone, or if you see yourself keen on something like that, I want it to be the president of so and so, and you do every effort to get it, you are in the wrong place and you need to treat yourself before if it's too late. Number six, jalafatul khuluq. You have rudeness. You have no friendliness. The way you deal with people and the way you talk with people gives them the feeling that they are nothing and you are everything. The way you talk with people, you talk with anger. You talk with them with disgust. You talk with them by ridiculing them. Rather than talking nicely and giving nice advices, you just attack the person. Wallahi, brothers, if we deal like that, we will never succeed. The number one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in this ayah. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Hadn't it been for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who made you so easygoing, so soft-spoken, so friendly with those people, had you been the opposite, they will disperse from around you. They will not come to you. They will not follow you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a way that we cannot be attracted to a person who puts us down, regardless how good he is, how knowledgeable he is, even to the point, I'm telling you that, to the point that some people say, yani this is wrong, and they swear by Allah, if I have to go to Jannah through you, I don't want to go to Jannah. This is how angry and how upset with the person, the way he deals and the way he approaches people to invite them to the religion. And we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is completely the opposite of that. He was so friendly, so patient, so kind. Never even the person who comes and hurt him and harm him and comes and ask him for a major sin or does a major sin, he stops him, he advises him, he guides them in a very gentle way. Not only him doing that, he also stops the companion from dealing rude and rough in his presence in certain situation, and we all have many examples of that. When a Bedouin came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and grabbed him from his collar and choked him, and the metal part of his vest was driven in his neck, and he said, give me from the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. He did not say, O Prophet of Allah. He did not say, please. He did not say, sir. He did not touch him. He grabbed him. He hurt him. And he commanded him to take something. And guess what was the answer? Give him. Give him. This is a manner that we need to think about it when we call ourselves callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't have that, then you need to work on it before dealing with people. Number seven, al-iftikhar bi quwwati al-jadal hatta walau kana bil-haq. Some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them by being eloquent, by having strong intellect, strong logic. They can prove things easily. They can play with the words. They can play with the proofs. They can win. Those people who have that and are proud of it, they need to check themselves before it's too late, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Man taraka al-kadhib wa huwa batil," يعني الكذب باطل, "بني له في ربض الجنة." If you leave lying, and lying is evil, you will have a house in the Jannah. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءِ وَهُوَ مُحِقٌّ بُنِيَ لَهُ فِي وَسَطِهَا. If you leave arguments, even when you're right, look, when you're right, why? Because there's no benefit in arguing with someone if his purpose is arguing, not looking for the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a castle for you in the middle of the Jannah. وَمَنْ حَسَّنَ خُلُقَهُ بُنِيَ لَهُ فِي أَعْلَاهَا. And anyone who beautifies his manner, his character, he will get a castle built for him in the highest level in the Jannah. Number 8, ضعف الداعية أمام الفتن. If you find yourself fitan, when we talk about fitna, how many times you heard that word fitna? Brother, you're trying to make fitna. There is a fitna in this place. Alhamdulillah, almost there was going to be a fitna. I just solved the fitna. What is fitna? I guarantee you, 99.9 don't understand the meaning of fitna, except something bad. Fitna, ya shabab, it's a test. So when you say, "I just solved the test," a test to who? He comes and lies something about me. He made fitna for me. He was the reason for me being tested in how I'm going to react. That's what he did. I am being tested through him. So it's very simple to get rid of his fitna. If I am a da'iya, it's easy. I have the tools. I can ignore it. I can treat him nicely. I can turn him away or turn myself away from him kindly, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Wahjurhum hajran jameela." Stay away from them in a kind way. You're about to get in trouble with argument. Jazakallah khair, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Leave. Okay. What does he have against you? You did not cuss him. You did not curse him. You did not yell at him. You did not do anything. So next time you see him, he doesn't really have anything that bad against you to increase that fitna. So you are in charge. You can make the fitna bigger, or you can make it smaller to the point that it may even go away. But bigger fitna than that is to have every other person getting involved with the fitna. But I'm being tested. If I need help, I can ask you for help. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, when the rioters wanted to kill him, you know what the companions did to him? They came and asked him. Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, Ali radiallahu anhu, they came and asked him, Abdullah ibn Abbas, came and asked him, "Do you want us to fight for you, to protect you?" He said, "No." He said, "By my right upon you, which is obedience," we just said that, to obey those people in charge, "do not be the reason to shed a drop of blood because of me. I don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one blood shed and I'm the reason for it from the believers." Fitna for him led to his death, was patient on it. And had he said, "Yes, defend me," a lot of people were going to be killed. But it was minimized. So fitna, test, and another meaning for fitna is what? Punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns those people who deviate away from the path of following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they will be tested or they will be punished. Look, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ بِاللَّهِ جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَعَذَابِ اللَّهِ. Some people are hurt for just being good people, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah tests them with a trial, with fitna, they make the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similar to the harm of the people. Meaning, they were not patient. Meaning, they gave up. Meaning, their faith needs to be charged. If you have that, if you find yourself weak at the times of fitan, then you need to strengthen your heart and you need to get to aqidah. Because people who have strong aqidah, they will not be shaken easily. They have firm grounds. They're like a palm tree. Major hurricanes, major tornadoes, very seldom they uproot it. But any other trees, they collapse. And this is the believer. A believer who have a strong aqidah, not manners only. It's not like be nice and be friendly and be brotherly and be gathering and be visiting and all of that. This will collapse. It's like you are building on no foundation. Building a house on no foundation and you're going over and over and over. Eventually it's going to give up. Same thing with the believers. Without aqidah, everything you learn is going to be in vain. النظرة السوداء للحال التي يعيشها المسلمون اليوم. Some people feel that, oh, they're so pessimistic. They're pessimistic when it comes to, oh, look at the brothers. Evil is everywhere, ya Sheikh. Nobody wants to hear, nobody wants to study, nobody's seeking knowledge, everybody's backbiting, everybody is working against one another, there's no love, there's no harmony, there is no friendliness. And he just tells you that this is the end of the world, no goodness is left. And he forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. They forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written in the Zabur, in the Psalms of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, and in the Quran, that earth will be inherited by righteous people. So if you're giving up on those righteous people, who's going to inherit earth? Check yourself. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلْ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ. If the person says that people are destroyed, then he is the first one to be destroyed. And usually people when they say that, guess why they say that? Because they see themselves being good and everyone else is bad. So all of you are going to hell except me because I am the knowledgeable one. I'm not. Well, when you do that, you are the first one to be destroyed, and what you did and what you said is a reason for your destruction. So make sure that you correct that problem. If you see everybody else is bad except you, you have a problem to work on. Number 10, سرعة الحكم على الأحداث. A problem happened, you heard a piece of news, someone told you something, you immediately get on the internet, send a message to the group, text everyone with your telephone, Or pick up the phone and call overseas. Did you know what so and so did? I cannot believe a sheikh would do that. I cannot believe a leader would do that. Man, and it's only a piece of information that came to you. It could be through your wife. It could be through your brother. It could be through a child. It could be through even a disbeliever or through an enemy. You immediately jumped to conclusions and passed all the information without verifying the source, without making sure what you're doing is right. Wallahi, brothers, I have on the internet, I have heard things about one story that probably had 10 stories about the same story, how it happened. And each one of them is telling you, no, this is how it happened. A person did this and the other, and I said, no, now we have another person. I said, oh, brother, you understood this wrong. This is how it is. Another person comes, no, the police came with some information. This. Why do we rush for things like that? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as He told us, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Had you, when you heard that information about your Muslim brother or sister, you have thought the best of them. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, if you have 99% suspicion against your Muslim brother and 1% for his favor, use that. Use that until you verify what you're doing. It's not the other way around. We know the person. Sometimes you hear information about a brother that you know him and you trust him and you love him, yet when you hear the information, immediately it changes you upside down. You're not even willing to defend that person behind his back. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that anyone who pushes away a slander or istighatha or something from his brother while he's not there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect his face from the hellfire, the day of judgment, or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, if someone comes to you with a piece of information, what do? Verify it. Why can't you verify without we pass? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. If you find yourself like that, then you need to work on it and fix it. تقديس الأشخاص. Some people worship people. Here is my sheikh. My sheikh said, this is halal or this is haram. It doesn't matter who proves to you, or what proofs they give to you, or what other shuyukh say against your sheikh, you're not willing to listen. If your sheikh said something about a CD, you immediately take his word without listening to the CD. If your sheikh commented on something about a book, it's bad. You're not willing to look at the book to see if what he's saying is right. You're blindly following your sheikh in everything. This is not fitting for someone who is intelligent, for someone who is educated to do that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La takunu imma'a taqulu in ahsana an-nas ahsanna wa in zalamu zalamna." He said, "Don't be naive. When people do good, you do good. When people do evil, you do evil." Rather, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Walakin wattinu anfusakum in ahsana an-nas tuhsinu wa in asa'u fala tadlimu." He said, "But firmly establish yourself, educate yourself, be sure of what you're doing. If people do good, you do good with them. If they do bad, what do? You don't oppress people." Meaning you don't do the same thing with them. If someone comes and tells you, or someone comes and tells you that he wanted to ask the hand of your daughter or the hand of your sister for marriage, and you ask the person, and he tells you, you know, I hate oppression, but I love this person and I will support him. But I say, but he's oppressive. And you say, I don't care. I love him and I support him. I am ready to support him. Is that a religious person? Is that a person that you want to give him in marriage? Someone who supports oppression. someone who supports evil, how can you call him religious? Oh, but brother, he prays. So what? Many people pray. So a person can never support oppression. A true person, a true believer can never support a person who lies or a person who is unfair and so forth. If you find yourself like that, you are just supporting people without caring about checking and making sure that people are right or wrong, then you need to work on yourself. Izdiwajiyyat al-khuluq. Some people have double standards. They smile in your face, and when you turn your back with someone else, oh, I can't stand that person. Oh, this person does this and that. Good in front of you, evil behind you. And some people you find that they hardly can even use the smile, or talk fair, or talk nice, or have patience on the mistakes of other people. This is horrible, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You had a good example in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did he use that method? No. Why are you using it? Then you need to change that. النصحب من نهوى لا من ننتفع به أو ننفع. You take for your friends people randomly. I like this guy, I'll take him. Why you like him? I don't know. I'm not really looking to learn from him or to teach him. If you find yourself doing that, you need to fix that. Any person you want to go with, what are the two? You either want to benefit from him or you want to benefit him. Otherwise, you're doing it wrong and you're not doing the right thing. Because, yes, you want to be friendly, you want to have fun sometimes, but you need to balance between that. This person is funny, so I stick with him because I want to be laughing all the time. This person is serious, I don't stick with him. No, I will be fair to myself. I will give myself what pleases it. No exaggerations, anything. That's why Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, too much laughter kills the heart. Does that mean we shouldn't laugh? No, but you have some people, they do nothing except laughter. When Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was asked by the kids, let's play, you know what he said? I wasn't created for that. Does that mean he never played? He did play. But that's all they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a great warning. Al-akhillaa yawma'idhin ba'duhum li-ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. People are enemies to one another the day of judgment except the righteous people. So make sure you know who you are with and you are dealing with. If you find yourself just having friends randomly, make sure you change that. Some of us also find themselves have a certain talent. Instead of going to someone who is specialized in it to see how they can improve it or to verify it, they just jump on fulfilling that talent themselves and they fall in horrible things. You need to establish yourself. If you find yourself with a beautiful voice for reciting the Quran, go to a sheikh who knows how to recite the Quran, recite on him and let him guide you and teach you to be someone who can really recite the Quran. But don't just go dive in it yourself and all of a sudden you want to jump and just be someone important without seeking guidance from anyone else. Same thing with anything else. Make sure you go to someone who is specialized in that. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to tell the companions, أَقْرَأُهُمْ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ أُبَيِّ بِنْ كَعْبٍ. The one who recites Quran the best, Ubayy bin Ka'b. أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ مُعَاذٍ. The one who knows the most about halal, permissible, impermissible things, is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Afraduhum Zayd ibn Thabit, the one who knows about the division of inheritance, the best one in that is Zayd ibn Thabit. So the companions knew by an experienced, knowledgeable person, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these are the qualified people for this and this and that. Why? Because they have come to him and learned from him. Now when he was saying that, guess who was there? Now we're talking Mu'adh ibn Jabal, a young man, died when he was not even 28 years old, became a believer when he was like 18 or 19. Tayyib, you have Mu'adh, and you have Zayd ibn Thabit, and you have Ubay ibn Ka'b. Ubay ibn Ka'b was not even a Muslim, he was a Christian, and then he accepted Islam. Who was there when he was saying that? Uthman ibn Affan was there, radiallahu anhu. Ali was there, Abu Bakr was there, Umar was there. The best of the four, the best of all the companions were there, yet he didn't say Abu Bakr is the one who's knowledgeable. He didn't say Ali, he said someone else. Because he is the one to know, he is the most qualified to judge who is the one suitable for this and for that. Did the companion get upset? Did they say, oh, how come Abu Bakr Siddiq, his faith equals the faith of the entire ummah. Yet, he did not say he is the one most knowledgeable of halal and haram. Because collectively, he is the best. But specifically in that particular subject, he wasn't. See, sometimes I can say, this sheikh more knowledgeable than this sheikh. In this particular subject, not overall. Sometimes you see that prophets or people, you prefer one over the other. It is not preference in total, it is preference in certain topics, and this is coming from someone who knows Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number 15, عدم اكتراثنا بأهمية الالتزام بالمواعيد. Many of us don't care about time, about dates, about appointments, punctuality. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Ismail. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. Ismail was صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ, very truthful with his promise, very truthful with his appointment. I see you at 4, I do my best to come at 4, not 4:30, not 4:15, not 5, not 6. You know, I thought the Arab 1 hour is normal. I went to a wedding one time, it was a Pakistani brother, and to my knowledge that they are more punctual than the Arab. I was wrong. The brother told me, and I said, brother, you know, because I had an appointment, it was at 7, I said, it's almost 8. And he said, oh brother, you're coming to a Pakistani wedding. I said, what does that mean? He said, I'll give it a couple of hours from the appointment time. That's it. Tayyib, why the prayers? You know, anyone who comes to the prayer, or anyone who prays the prayer 5 times a day, on time, even if you're not in the masjid, I guarantee you this person, if he does that, he is good with his appointments, provided that his prayer is not a habit, it is something that he thinks about. The prayer, punctuality of the prayer leads you to be punctual in your appointments. So if you're not punctual, you're calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is very negative. Fix that, because you don't want people to take after you. And sometimes you feel lazy. You feel lazy. It's normal. You get tired sometimes. So it is good for you to charge yourself. It's good for you to sometimes, instead of teaching, you go learn, you go listen to a lecture to someone else. You don't continue on doing something when you know yourself, it is not really coming from, you have burned yourself. Go and charge yourself. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, من فقه العبد أن يتعاهد إيمانه وما نقص منه ومن فقه العبد أن يعلم أيزداده أم ينقص. It is a sign of your knowledge to take care of your faith and to see, is your faith decreasing or increasing? If you see it decreasing, then you need to see seek or search for something that pumps you back up where you were and better. Number 17, ثقل العفو على بعض النفوس. Number 17 is some people find it very hard to say, I forgive you, brother. Some people ready to kiss the hand of the other brother and they still don't forgive. Some people do the impossible, and I witnessed several of those. And their heart is so hard to the point that they even get worse when the person begs them to forgive. If you call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have that quality, remember Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was kicked from Mecca, when he was tortured, when he lost everything, then when he came back to Mecca, he had forgiven everybody. If you remember that, it teaches you how to deal with hatred and how to deal with other people when you know that we have to raise to the Jannah and to the forgiveness of Allah. If you want Allah to forgive you, then you better forgive others. Treat others the way you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat you. And finally, استعجالنا في تحصيل النتائج. Some people, if they come, I have witnessed that from a sister. I have talked to them. I have advised them. They do not listen. They don't want to change. They don't care for me. I said, well, man, it looks like she's calling to herself. You don't do that. If I come and call you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I need to know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to reap the fruit after 13 years. Not every day. When you have 40 some believers, 13 years. When you have Nuh, 900, Prophet Nuh, 950 years and he had few, 83 or 84 or some who believed in him. Anytime you call to Allah and you want to see big results, then change your whole strategy. You don't fit for that. Because the result is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the day of judgment, the Prophet comes and they have a rat, 3 to 10 people with them. Some Prophets come, zero. Zero, not a single follower. They have miracles, they have knowledge, they have perseverance, they have everything, and no one believed in them. And that is not because they don't know how to call, it is because guidance in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to live a life the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to live. We need to hold fast to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be sincere. We need to love for ourselves and our families and our friends what we love for ourselves. And we need to not care for people who ridicule us, for people who look down at us, for people who are standing in our way, for people who are trying to block us and to delay us from passing this message. Rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arm yourself with reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have certainty that Allah will guide you subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will reform the people if He wants to. And be confident and go. As the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Keep going on the straight path as you were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is in quick how to be honest with yourself. Any of those any of those points that I have mentioned that you want to be honest and frank with yourself to correct it. Number one, you need to feel that you are not above the advice of others. Number two, you should not look for legal opinions that suits your whims and desires. Number three, you don't want to belittle the act and the hard work of other people and say that their intentions are not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and such. You need to not busy yourself with little issues and forget the big issues. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm saying like you are doing extra prayers, extra to sunnah, and then you're a liar, you backbite, you're not honest, and this and that, and you're doing this. No, fix all of those things that reforms you before you do all of those things. If you feel like you like to be number five, if you feel like you want to be in charge or a leader, or you like to be showing yourself off, then this is a bad sign. Number six, make sure that your manner is soft and friendly. Number seven, if you are eloquent and you can argue with people, make sure not to use that. Make sure you give that up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure you are strong at the times of fitan, when you are tested by other people. And number nine, make sure to not think of other people as they're going to be destroyed because they're bad, and think of yourself as a good person. Number 10, do not judge things or the information quickly. When you hear something, verify it before you do anything. And number 11, don't worship people and worship their opinions. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make sure that you use your mind and look for the proofs and for the truth. Number 12, make sure that you don't have double standards. Don't smile in the face of a person and go and cuss him and backbite him when he is not there. Number 13, don't take friends randomly. Make sure that you either benefit or benefit the person, or learn from the person whom you're taking as a friend. And number 14, if you found out that you have a certain talent, make sure you present it to someone who is knowledgeable about that talent so he can improve you and guide you. Number 15, make sure that you are punctual with your appointments and with the promises that you give to people when it comes to time and date. And number 16, make sure that you check yourself every now and then. Is your faith going down or is it going up? If it's going down, make sure you charge yourself and go back up. And number 17, make sure that yourself is trained to forgive people easily, not to hold a grudge against some people. Because if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, then you need to forgive others. And number 18, don't hasten the results. Don't call to Allah and expect that you're going to be victorious and the entire world is going to be followers to you. Always work and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll conclude with that. If you have any question, we'll take some questions inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.